Welcome to the Lights, Camera, Rant Podcast. Your source for the latest on movies, TV shows, and video games. Get ready for ranting, raving, and reviewing. Here is your host, Lee.
Good morning, good afternoon, good night, whatever the time is that you're listening to this podcast. Welcome back to Lights, Camera, Rant. As my wonderful intro guy says, I'm Lee, and I will be your host for this episode. Well, actually, for every single episode, because I never go anywhere. So, welcome for everyone who's reoccurring. For anyone's new, welcome. I hope you really enjoy this episode. And as always, guys, you know what to do at socials. You know, like, share, all the fun stuff. Want to get that out of the way first. And also, if you haven't already, go check out Mark My Words, because that man has just launched his merch store. That is up and running. And that is from the same place that the Lights, Camera, Rant merch store is as well. So we've made sure the fact that you guys will have high quality gear when you do purchase. So definitely go check out Lights, Camera, Rant merch, and definitely go check out Mark My Words. He's been working on that for a while now, and I'm so glad he's got that up and running. I'm so proud of Mark. Actually, I saw him actually this past weekend. He came over and we kind of had like a brain session on like where we wanted to go, Lights, Camera, Rant wanted to go, and where Mark My Words wanted to go. So guys, if you haven't already, definitely follow us, because the fact we've got so much in store over the next 6 months that we can't wait to announce and show. So we have plenty in the pipeline. I'm currently looking at the current schedule for Lights, Camera, Rant. And honestly, I wish I could show you guys, but everything comes in good time. So definitely go jump over to him. I've also, look, I hope you guys have noticed, but I've also upgraded my mic. I've moved a little bit up from the step from having a $50 Kogan one to now I've gone to HyperX Quadcast Series S. Because I thought, you know, as a good celebration for marking 1 year of a podcast, I thought, you know what? Why not for an upgrade to make sure the fact that I come to you guys crystal clear as possible, so you can hear me ranting as clear as possible. So definitely hope that's conveyed and the fact that I sound a lot better. So that was a nice upgrade. It is a stunning mic. I post a photo on my Instagram, and also does multiple different colors as well. So it's kind of trippy to watch as I try and speak and drink at the same time. So this is interesting. So that's a new addition to Lights, Camera, Rant as well. So guys, we've got a packed episode today. Now that's all out of the way. We're going to be looking at The Boys. We're going to be looking at Kenobi. We're going to be looking at Miss Marvel. And I have a gaming review for you, Sifu. That will be a review for you as well in this episode. But you guys know what we like to get into first. We look at the news, and then we get into something I like to call the reviews. It's something that we do on here. I don't know if you've ever heard it, but yes. So guys, first we're off the rank. Pretty sure this we're all aware of this. Ezra Miller is never going to be the Flash ever, ever, ever again. I have no idea what this man is doing. No joke. The rumor right now is the fact that after The Flash, Warner Brothers is dropping him like a big bag of shit. Which honestly, I think they should be doing that as well. Between everything with Hawaii, I don't know what he has against Hawaiians, and currently he's kidnapped a child as well. Well, not a child, but kidnapped somebody that he was meant to be in love with, and I don't know what goes in this guy's mind, but he's completely derailing his career. You know, he's almost on the same pedestal as Amber Heard, because they're both, you know, both were positioned well in the DC, and now goodbye. There's the trash can. We're gonna send you out on your merry way. Here's a goodbye. Not even a goodbye, but I don't know what this man's doing, but honestly, Oh, like, I'd be very surprised if he's even going to rock up to the premiere for The Flash, which is next year, which of course he's going to because, you know, he's the main star. But I'd be very surprised the fact if he reappears in The Flash in anything, not to mention The Flash 2. I think it was just better if they just got the guy from The Flash TV show. That would have been a whole lot easier. But look, we all make mistakes. We all, you know, do things, stuff like that. But, you know, I saw a photo this past week, and it was a picture of the Justice League, right? And it's so sad to know the fact that the only people left over is Aquaman and Wonder Woman. They're the only two that are completely a staple. You know, I've mentioned it before. Warner Brothers doesn't trust Henry Cavill for some reason. Wanted to go do other projects for some bullshit reason. Ben Affleck is gone. Technically. Obviously, he's going to appear in The Flash, but yeah, you know what I meant. That's his last appearance. He's out. Cyborg, Ray Fisher is out. And now The Flash is out. So, the first time we get to see a Justice League on the screen, it's the last time that we might see a Justice League on the screen. It will be a very long time before the fact that Warner Brothers or DC are going to take another crack at making a Justice League movie, because what a mess. This is just utterly a mess. Now, I know I've gone on this before, but like, it just, the plot just keeps thickening. Like, oh my God. You know, and people will be like, oh, no, I'd rather DC over Marvel. You know, it's a lot darker and all like that. I'm like, yeah, that's true. I get that. But at the same time, show me your Justice League. Show me that. You know, I just don't. It's just gobsmacked to see what's happened. And I feel sorry for everyone who really enjoyed Man of Steel, which I did, Batman v Superman, not the 2016 Justice League, but, you know, the Snyder Cut, which I really enjoyed the Snyder Cut. And, you know, Aquaman wasn't too bad. Shazam wasn't too bad. Wonder Woman was fantastic. The first Suicide Squad was very average. And Wonder Woman 2 was shit. Like, it's just, you know, if I was the Warner Brothers DC film, I'd be like, scrap everything. Everything that we're making right now, we finish, and then we completely scrap it. Scrap it all, and then start fresh. Complete an utter reboot. You know, have one more Shazam. You know, maybe try and pump out an Aquaman 3. But I know that's not going to happen, because now The Rock is going to be in the DCU, which he has said that he will be pushing forward to rebuild the DCEU, which, God damn, they need it. They need a Kevin Feige, you know, 100%, and know someone who is passionate and isn't going to be willing to compromise on anything, because anytime I speak to anyone regarding the DCEU, it's just fucking shambles. You know, honestly, you know, and you look on the other side of the fence and Marvel can't strive any further. You know, and anytime I hear someone go, DC's better, I'm like, you literally have no ground to stand on to justify that in film-wise. Animated films, yes you can. Comics, yes you can. But DCEU-wise, do not come at me because of the fact you have nothing to stand on. Absolutely. Honestly, it's just in shambles. And it's not DC's fault, but between Warner Brothers and DC, something's not working. And if it's not them that's not working, it's their actors that are not working because of everything back and forth. So guys, when we do get The Flash next year, this will most likely be the last time you see Ezra Miller as The Flash, because he's out. And ooh, we're going to touch that. You know, same with Amber Heard. Out. You know, if they're not leaving, they're kicking them out. No joke. But speaking about DC, this past week was the 30th anniversary of Batman Returns, which, you know, I remember I love the first Batman with Michael Keaton. I remember watching that as a kid. I loved it. You know, it's funny, when I watch it now, all I think about is his neck, how he can only move one way. But you know, the first Batman movie, you know, revolutionized comic book movies. Between Tim Burton and Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson, they did a fantastic job. And they set a bar so high for comic book movies, that glass ceiling was so high for all movies to come, that you know, it took another Batman film to break that ceiling. You know, Blade broke that ceiling as well. You know, and Avengers Endgame broke that ceiling again, but that ceiling was so high because of the Batman movie. You know, man, again, Superman set the bar, and then Tim Burton and Michael Keaton just smash right through it. And that first Batman movie is fantastic, and so is Batman Returns. Now, unfortunately, the drawback from Batman Returns is that it was that next stage darker. You know, we did get Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman, which was fantastic. We got Danny DeVito as the Penguin, which was fantastic. You know, and it's arguably a Christmas movie. Yes, go look it up. People will argue the fact it's a Christmas movie, but because it was so dark, Warner Brothers pulled away and they stopped Batman 3, which would have been very interesting to see on how that would have come about. But because it was so dark, Warner Brothers got scared and they scrapped Batman 3. You know, we were meant to get, I forgot his name, Lando. Lando, and he also played Harvey Dent in the Batman movies. He was meant to play Two-Face. That was the plan. But you know, that didn't come to pass. But he did. I can't remember his name. It completely escapes me. But he did actually get to play Harvey Dent in Two-Face in the Lego movie. So that in the end, he still got to play Two-Face. So that's a little bit of trivia for you. Oh, come on, where is his name? Where's his name? As soon, I'm just trying to think. Billy Dee Williams. God, somebody shoot me. I can't believe I forgot that. But yeah, he played Two-Face. Go back if you forgot. But yeah, he does play Harvey Dent, and he was scheduled to play Two-Face in Batman 3. And you know, looking at Batman Returns, it's a fantastic film, and it's still just in high regard as the first Batman movie in my stand. They're both solid films. They do so much for the character. And what spawned from that was Batman the Animated Series, which was fantastic. You know, I cannot speak more highly of Batman the Animated Series for what did the characters, the reimagining, the opening intro, if you have never seen it. It was just, sorry, excuse me, just fantastic. So much still spawn from Batman Returns, even though for some reason people said the fact it was too dark. Looking back on it now as an adult, I remember thinking, oh yeah, that was fine. Now I'm like, wow, this is actually dark. Huh. You know, the penguin dying, and yeah, that was the penguins. The first beginning on how he was just tossed into the river from his parents, which was Pee Wee Herman. No joke. So that was a big anniversary that we did get. And another Batman anniversary we did get was an anniversary for Batman Arkham Knight. We got the anniversary for that as well this past week, which, you know, Batman the Arkham Knight, if you haven't played it, go play it right now. It is the pivotal Batman experience. You know, I wish I was doing this back then, because I would have done like such a big game review for that. You know, it was just how it ended, the Arkham Knight, the ending of the Arkham trilogy. You know, people, yes, complain about the mechanics of the Batmobile, but it wasn't that bad. You know, I didn't, yeah, it had its little things here and there, but it wasn't that bad. The overall story was fantastic. The return of Mark Hamill, the fact that he was in Batman's head, it was just an extra step further. And the fact that Arkham Knight was Jason. Spoilers. You know, it was just the Arkham series, just the story alone is fantastic and is in one of the high regards of a great Batman mythos. Batman Batman Arkham Asylum, Batman Arkham City, and Arkham Knight is a fantastic trilogy. And yes, there's Batman Arkham Origins, which only enriches the entire experience of the Arkhamverse. You know, and there was, that's the interesting thing. Like, I was talking to Mark the other day, and I was like, you know, I've pre-ordered Batman Gotham Knights. However, I am not excited for it. I'm a massive Batman fan, but I'm not excited for it at all. You know what I am excited for, on the flip side, is the Rocksteady's Suicide Squad game. Because the fact that's a sequel to Arkham Knight with the same mechanics. Batman Gotham Knights isn't, even though it kind of picks off, left off where Arkham Knight finished. And that's, you know, even a game that doesn't even have Batman in it, just the world they've built, the gameplay, that alone has made me excited for the Suicide Squad game, which completely gut-wrenched me when the fact that that got delayed. I was like, yay. And then it was like, you know, you can get Gotham Knights. Yeah. Cool. Can't wait for that. Really can't. Honestly, I'll still play it. I'll still give my review on it. Don't get me wrong, it's still a Batman game, technically, even though Batman's not in it. But I will still play it. So that's going to be interesting. But, you know, there's a lot of Batman anniversaries that happened this past week. And, yeah, between Batman Returns, Batman Arkham Knight. So, guys, tell me, before we move forward, in the comments, please let me know, did you really enjoy Batman Arkham Knight, and did you enjoy Batman Returns? Do you wish the fact that they kept pressing on and made Batman 3? Technically. moving on, let's go to the other side of the fence. Marvel. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, there is a lot of people saying right now the fact that, you know, not including me, I don't agree with this, people are saying the fact that, oh, where is Phase 4 going? What's it leading to? There's so much going on, but there's no direct, you know, line to who the next big bad guy is. Now, I'm going to draw your mind right back to Iron Man 2, Thor, right at the beginning. We had no idea who was going to be the big bad. We didn't know where it was going. We were just enjoying the journey. You know, and that's the thing. That's what we have to pull back on. Where Marvel isn't doing a hard reset, but the big bad has to be at a reset and has to build towards that again. Because you got to remember the fact that we only saw Thanos at the end of Avengers. And then we saw him for the first time actually playing a character in Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, and that was still about, you know, good like 4 to 5 movies in before we actually got to see this. So, you know, the fact that, you know, we have to wait. You know, we have to wait who the next big bad is. Because there's theories going around, Secret Wars, Kang, Galactus, Doctor Doom. All these, you know, all these factors are on the table, you know. And all these characters are on the table that could be the next big bad and where it's going to. But I've been telling people that you need to wait. You need to wait. Everything will be revealed later on. Don't you think it's quite a coincidence, the fact that we have no idea where the direction is, even though just before Endgame, we knew exactly where it was headed, but right now, we don't know anything? Don't you think that's awfully planned? Awfully planned? It's Kevin Feige you were talking about. Of course he's having a plan, and of course he's going to make sure the fact that you have no idea what's going on until he's ready to tell you. That's the thing. Because, you know, some people go, oh, you know, Doctor Strange didn't give us any indication. You know, Loki wasn't in it. What's happening? I'm like, just wait, guys. Just be patient, which I know is very hard for a lot of people. But just wait that little bit longer because we're going to find out. So, for the first time in 3 years, Marvel will be returning to the San Diego Comic-Con. Kevin Feige has confirmed this. So that will be happening next month. And this is where he's going to be talking about the latest movies and everything that's coming out. So this, you know, I wish I could go. It would just, especially at this pivotal moment, if you're going to the San Diego Comic-Con, you need to go right now. book your tickets, because the fact that, you know, what is happening, you know, is going to be just fantastic. And the fact what they're going to announce will be the next steps. Because you got to remember the fact that, you know, we've technically halfway through. No, we are halfway through. We're playing a little bit some between Phase 4. All we know is that Phase 4 will end with Fantastic Four, pun intended. You know, and the fact that we know there's so much in the works at the moment, rumored. So, you know, Deadpool 3, there's going to be Doctor Strange 3, you know, they're going to have those dates. So strap yourselves in, guys, because next month, I feel like there's just going to be, the news is going to happen. Well, the news is going to happen, but the fact that we're going to get some direction of where this is all going, because even Kevin Feige said the fact the next big bad will reveal themselves over the next coming months. I don't know if that's going to do about Thor 4. I don't know if that's going to happen to do with She-Hulk, which I both doubt. And then the next, you know, we're looking at Black Panther in November. So I think over he means by the next few months is what's going to be the next few announcements are going to be. And then we lead into Phase 5, which very well could contain Avengers 5, which makes perfect sense. You end with Fantastic Four and then you have Avengers 5. Because there's theories madness going right now, and honestly, I can't wait. And I can't wait to bring it to you when they do announce it. Moving on. So for any Tony Hawk fans, I'm really sorry. Unfortunately, Activision will not be remaking Pro Skater 3 and 4. Tony Hawk announced this on during, I think it was his Twitch stream. He announced the fact that they were not doing that anymore because the fact that one of the publishers of the remake has merged with Blizzard, and the fact that they couldn't find someone else to take on the project that they could agree on to make the games for 3 and 4. But Tony Hawk has said the fact that it isn't completely cancelled. They are still on the table. It's more about finding the right person or the right publisher to build it to their satisfaction. But look, you still got Pro Skater 1 and 2, which are fantastic, and the soundtrack is absolutely mint. Moving on, so Jedi Fallen Order fans, you might be in for a big treat. Rumor has it that a Disney Plus show is in the works with Cameron Mungan, I could probably butcher his last name, set to return from the game in this Disney Plus show. So I'm very curious. I really do hope the fact that this show is real, because the fact that Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order is a fantastic game, and I would love to see that enriched into a Disney Plus TV show. That would be fantastic. And the fan base is there. Am I annoyed the fact that we're not getting number 2 until next year? Yes. But I will be satisfied with a Disney Plus show. So strap yourselves in, guys, because that could be on the works. Continue on. Thor 4. Early reactions, because we had the world premiere a couple of days ago. That all early reactions are very positive. The most thing I'm seeing is the fact that it is different to Ragnarok in the best ways. Some similar elements, but all very positive. Christian Bale and Natalie Portman are standouts. And Taika Waititi with Korg is also a standout. So this looks to be another win in the column for Marvel. And I can't wait to see it. So me and my friends, including Mark for Mark My Words, we'll be seeing that on July the 9th, which is in 2 weeks. Oh my God, it's already July. Holy shit. Yeah, before I know it, the next episode we'll be doing will be like, Black Panther is just next week. Oh God. Holy shit. But remember what I said, guys? Thor 4 Love and Thunder will be another video episode of Lights, Camera, Rant. So will be Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Those are the two next video episode podcasts that I will be bringing out to you guys. So don't miss them. As I said, only 2 weeks away till we see Thor Love and Thunder. And the fact that seeing everything, how positive it is fantastic. Another win in the column for Marvel. And everyone's praising how good Christian Bale has been as a new bad guy. You know, it's funny, actually. I saw an interview where he said the fact that his kids were saying to him, "Oh, you've entered the MCU, you've entered the MCU." And he's like, "What the hell is that?" So he had no idea what the MCU was. And apparently he was really excited about Rick Grove for this role. So I can't wait to see that. You know, so that's all fantastic to hear. Moving on, John Williams, the legendary composer, has announced the fact that Indiana Jones 5 will be his last film score before retiring. Now, with Indiana Jones 5 coming out at the time, he will be about 92 years old, so it makes perfect sense the fact that he's going to be calling it quits. I do love the fact that he's ending it on a film that he's previously worked on and made a theme that is just, you know, so implanted and unforgettable. So I'm really glad to see the fact that this will be the last, most 100% will be the last outing of Harrison Ford and John Williams for this movie. And the fact it's being directed by James Mangold is fantastic. So I can't wait for Indiana Jones 5. Just hope it will be better than the trash that was Indiana Jones 4. And you'd be really happy. Shia LaBeouf isn't returning. Thank God. But no surprise about John Williams that being his last one given his age. Also, moving on, Harley Quinn TV show. For any of those fans, season 3 will be dropping next month. So if you haven't already, definitely go check out the Harley Quinn show. It's actually surprisingly good. I did watch the first couple episodes. I didn't need to go back and watch the rest. But it's downright, it's really funny in the Batman universe. Yeah, it's, I think it's M or MA, so it's really like balls to the wall, so it's really good. So I recommend that. But yeah, season 3 will be coming out in July. Alright guys, that was the biggest news that's happened in the past week. So let's get down to, business, to defeat the Huns. Oh my God, I butchered that terribly, but that's the first thing that comes to my mind every time I hear someone say, "Let's get down to business." Oh, I'm sorry. I'll never sing again, ever. So, as I said, let's get into the review. So, first thing off the bat, let's start off with Sifu. So, Sifu is developed and produced by a company called Solo Clap. I probably butchered that, but I think that's how that's pronounced. So, Sifu was a game. Now, for anyone who doesn't know, my big, like, for me, gaming-wise, is like, SimCity type of games. That's where I thrive and I absolutely love. So, SimCity, Two Point Hospital, Surviving the Aftermath, Surviving Mars, City Skylines, Jurassic World, Evolution, Tropico. Like, these are big games I do love. But don't get me wrong, like, they're not the only ones I love. I love Ratchet and Clank. I love the Ghostbusters game, even though it was a remake from 2009. But, you know, and, you know, I do like those adventure games as well. You know, I do enjoy Call of Duty. I suck at it. That's why I only verse bots. But, you know, like Evil Genius 2, Guardians of the Galaxy game, which was freaking fantastic, and you need to go play that game right now. So, Sifu was a game that, you know, I saw the trailer for, and it wasn't my type of game, to be honest with you. But, you know, Mark was talking about it, and Dean was talking about how good it was. And I thought, you know what, no. So, I thought to myself, let me go fully left field in something that I don't usually play. You know, just from the game kinetics and from what I've been playing recently. So I thought, you know, let's go a little bit left field, try something new. So Sifu is obviously, you know, based in China or Japan, I think one of the two it is. And it's beautifully visually sculpted game. The visuals for this game would have to be the outstanding achievement of this game. And it's just the way it's drawn. It's almost like taken straight from like anime comics or, you know, big set pieces, but, you know, just the lighting, the colors, to me, between like the sound, the gameplay, and the story, the visuals for me are the strongest suit of this game. You know, I even found myself when I was playing this, just looking around the room, or like just looking for a brief, you know, for a couple of moments before pressing forward, which to me, I can't think of the last game I actually said, like, stopped and actually looked around at the world in just like, this is gorgeous, like, this is stunning, you know, like a work of art, really, you know. And I honestly can't think of the last time I did that for Arkham Knight, because, you know, the beautiful, how well-structured Gotham City was. But, you know, for anyone who's big on visuals and likes that anime style, you know, is just, you're going to absolutely love this. So what happens is the fact that in this game is the fact that it's a martial arts school. What happens is your father gets killed from a, because he has a school, martial arts school. One of the people at the school goes up against your father and kills him because he wants to go out on his own, because of the fact that he feels like he's lying and that he's not giving him enough attention. You know, that whole, like, I'm better than you, why aren't you teaching me all this? You know, that kind of a style. And then you play his son, which when you come of age, you're basically going to go after him. And how it works out is the fact that there's about five different points that you go to in the city. So you go from like the back streets to the city to a museum to like another place as well, which I'm trying. Yeah, it was his martial arts school. Sorry, my apologies. His martial arts school you go to. So there's about five different levels that you go to, and each level has its own inbuilt levels that you go up, defeating multiple henchmen, going further in the story, and then you verse the big boss. Now, the big boss in every single level has their own particular fighting style, and that setting alone is fantastic to look at and fight. Now, the fighting mechanics for this game is the fact, it's sort of, I know I'm trying to draw back to Arkham, but like, you know, the Arkham Mad Max kind of style, but imagine this turn up to 11. So you have to make sure the fact that you're using the right buttons to punch, melee, reverse, and attack. So you really, for this game, the biggest grind, I would say, is trying to learn all the different moves to make, you know, to fully get the fluent of this game's action, because it's big on martial arts. It is the basis of this particular game. Now, the most interesting thing of this fact of this game, which draw me to this, was the fact that, so, in the game, every time you die, you come back to life, but you age. And every time you age, you know, you do see your character age, but as you age, and when you hit a particular point, you keep getting stronger. But your health reduces because you get older. Now, I played on easy mode because of the fact that both Mark and Dean told me to, because don't bother going on to medium, because the thing is, when you die, obviously, you know, you age one up, but when you go to medium and hard, if you die multiple times from the same person, you start a multiplier. So you might die once and you age up once. If you die again, you might age up two. If you die for a third time, you might age up four. So that's the tricky thing that you gotta keep in mind. The best recommendation I have going into the game is that, honestly, if you see a weapon, for anyone who's just starting the game, if you see a weapon, pick it up and use it. Any type of weapon, anything, use weapons. It just speeds up the process. But gameplay is fantastic. As I mentioned, you just gotta really learn the controls aspect into it. That's probably the biggest grind, as mentioned. But once you do, it's well worth the experience, and it makes you so much easier to try to take down the big bosses and everyone in between. Sound design is fantastic. You know, the music in the background is good, as well as you can feel every punch, every kick that does happen. Even when you do get struck yourself, you feel that too, and you can really hear it in the sound. So overall, the game, to me, it was definitely a bit left field. It was funny, I messaged Mark, because I was like, I kept dying at one point. I was like, this is why I just do city building games. Because I just kept dying at this one. There's one level where you get to verse this chick who throws basically like a pyramid around, like a pyramid on a string, sort of like, you know, daggers. And it's just so annoying to try and beat. I'm like, fuck! But, you know, and I thought, this is why I don't go left field to go to games I usually play. But overall, I'm glad I did. I really enjoyed the experience of Sifu. It was definitely just the visual, the gameplay, and the story is all fantastic. So if you're looking for a game, as I mentioned, in like the anime, you know, visually stunning, you're looking for an action beat-em-up style, and you don't mind a little grind, trying to learn all the moves, like if you've got the time, this game is for you. So I highly recommend it. And it's not myself that only says it. A lot of people also highly recommend this game. For a type of game it is, it's fantastic. Probably the only other drawback is that the story is probably is that little bit short. So you could probably, you know, you can probably, if you do a good grind, you can probably smash this out within the day. You know, that's the only drawback. You can smash out the story in a day, but learning all the moves, that's where what will keep you coming back to learn it. And obviously increasing the difficulty from medium and hard. But if you're just starting out, I only recommend easy and then go from there up. Because straight away, I was going straight to medium. I'm really glad I didn't. Or I probably would have smashed my controller and sold this game straight away. But yeah, that is my review for Sifu. So thumbs up. All positive on the fighting, the visuals, the sound. You just gotta keep in mind for the grind of learning all the maneuvers and the fact the story is a bit short. That's probably the only two things that I was a bit, that's my only downgrade of the game. But overall, good to go. Alright, so moving on. Let's move on to, oh my god, Kenobi. Can we all just take a moment and appreciate Kenobi? Obi-Wan Kenobi. We got the final for Obi-Wan Kenobi, which I'm going to be honest with you guys. Like, when I, you know, after I watched the final, I was like, oh, that was, you know, I'll get into what my thoughts were, but I was like, oh, that was really quick. That's already overdone, dusted. We're done here. Obi-Wan is done. You know, after all the hype and all everything interlinking it, I'm like, oh, it's already done, you know, and it's because of the fact that we got two episodes at launch, so we've only really had 4 weeks of Kenobi, and it's already over, and it just feels like it's gone so quick, you know, and it's just been and gone, basically. But besides that, this was such a good episode. This was solid all the way through. We got, which, you know, if someone told me this before this got announced, that where I would ever see a rematch between Obi-Wan Kenobi and Hayden Christensen. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Well, Hayden Christensen being the actor, but Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin Skywalker, I'd be like, bullshit. Because I am wrong. Because the fact that it was a rematch between, oh, not really a rematch, but Obi-Wan Kenobi versus Darth Vader. That's what we got for this. And it was worth it. The weight. The action in the show is fantastic. The emotional weight in this episode, so this episode goes for a full hour, is fantastic. The CGI is on point. Now, and what we do get is the development of Obi-Wan Kenobi from the very first episode we see him to the last episode, from him being fully broken to a man who's, you know, reconnected with the Force and has lifted that burden off his shoulders. So, as we know with episode 5, we knew the fact that Reva knew exactly where Luke is, and she's heading for him. With Obi-Wan, he knew the fact that he has to end this by versing Darth Vader. So Obi-Wan Kenobi goes off to a side planet, so he lets all the rebellion, the survivors, go straight off, and they can also take Princess Leia home. So Obi-Wan Kenobi goes to this planet where he goes to fight Darth Vader. Now, Darth Vader does rock up, and it's a very intense scene. It's the only two of them on the planet. And what I do love about this episode is the fact it's not well lit. People are like, oh, you know, it's darker, so, you know, the CGI looks better. I'm like, no. What I liked about it was it was that little bit darker So what you really were focusing on is that you saw a blue lightsaber versus a red lightsaber. You know, it was more intense. Because of the darkness, you could see how good how they were going. And what you saw was Obi-Wan Kenobi staring Darth Vader, going, "We're gonna fight. One of us is going to leave this planet dead or defeated." And of course, we get Obi-Wan Kenobi doing his battle stance, where I was a bit like, "Yeah, boy, right there." And then they go at it. And as they're going at it, on the flip side, we see the fact that Rhea starts hunting down Luke, and obviously Luke's adoptive parents, Luke's uncle and all that, obviously they start purring because they find out the fact that she's hunting them down. Now Rhea is a little bit, obviously being stabbed from the last episode, she isn't moving as fast and she's a bit slower. So on that side, she goes after them and they try to defend her off as best they can. Obviously they lose a little bit. And then Luke starts running into the hills, and Reva starts following because Reva wants to kill Luke as a revenge to Darth Vader, obviously Anakin, for what happened as she was a youngling. Now, on the other flip side, let's go back to the fight. Now, what this fight with Obi-Wan and Darth Vader lived up the hype. You're seeing, obviously it's not as intense as Revenge of the Sith, but the choreography is still on there. Just the way that they're fighting, and the fact of the lightsabers, using the environment, using the force, and we see, what we do get to see is the fact that almost Obi-Wan does get defeated. He gets pushed into the ground, and Darth Vader starts burying Obi-Wan Kenobi with all this, rock and rubble onto him, starts burying him, thinking that he's defeated. However, what we do see is that Obi-Wan is just holding just enough force from getting crushed, and it looks like he's about to give up. But then he starts thinking about everyone, and then he starts thinking about Princess Leia, and then, boom! He moves all the rock out of the way, starts following Darth Vader, and they take another swing. And not this time, but he is so connected with the Force right now. He's one-upping Darth Vader, left, right, and center, using the Force intensely. And it's showing the fact, the big difference between the skill between Obi-Wan Kenobi, Anakin Skywalker, Darth Vader, and showing that still Obi-Wan is still more powerful and more technical warrior than Anakin, Darth Vader. And what we get, now this is the juiciest part, this is the part that made me like, so much as a fan, is the fact that Obi-Wan, obviously with the lightsaber, strikes down Darth Vader and breaks the mask. Very similar to what we see in Star Wars Rebels between Darth Vader and Ahsoka, very similar. The interesting thing is the fact that with the one in Star Wars Rebels, it was on the left side of Darth Vader's mask when Kenobi takes out the right side. And what we see is great acting by Ewan McGregor, is that he can see Anakin. He even says Anakin, and he's like, he's like, "You're right there." And you see Hayden Christensen in the mask for the very first time, obviously the broken. And what you see now, this is the interesting part, which I did think of when I was seeing it, that obviously, because it's very dark lit, at the very start of the conversation, you can see the fact that a blue lightsaber light is lighting up Darth Vader's face. And you don't see the yellow Sith eyes, and Obi-Wan says the fact, I'm sorry for everything, for what had happened, and then Anakin turns around, and it's almost like, which I do obviously with the blue lightsaber light, is that you can see the fact that he takes the burden off Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like it's not your fault. Because he says, "You didn't kill Anakin Skywalker. I did." And saying it was his fault. Pushing back the fact that the story that, back with Alec Guinness at the beginning of episode 4, where he says, "Your father was murdered by Darth Vader, by a Jedi that I trained. He murdered him." enriching that story right there. And it's almost like he's taking the burden off Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's like telling him, like, it's not your fault. Why I'm here is nothing to do with you. It wasn't you for everything. But then, after he says that, we see the blue light dim and the red lightsaber kick in, you know, and he starts seeing the yellow Sith eyes, you know, and he's like, I will destroy you. Now, Darth Vader's very well beaten. The best thing about the scene is that you both hear, for the first time, the blend between James L. Jones as Darth Vader and Hayden Christensen's voice blending together for the first time, and you can feel that transition between Anakin is gone and nothing is left but Darth Vader. Now, this is the point. Now, this is the big point, is that at the end, Obi-Wan says the fact that he says goodbye. Now, usually instead of saying goodbye, my old friend, he says goodbye, Darth. He accepts that Anakin is dead. Anakin is gone, because he says, my friend is truly gone. Which is why you see in episode 4 when he says, he calls him Darth Vader, because Anakin is gone. And he says it, Darth Vader killed Anakin. So that enriches the entire storyline right there, which was a great scene. You know, and you know, Ewan McGregor, Hayden Christensen, Reva, props to all of their acting, is fantastic. So Obi-Wan leaves that planet and then goes to stop Reva from killing Luke. Now, he gets there a little bit late, but Reva doesn't kill Luke because she does not want to become just like Darth Vader. She doesn't want to become like Anakin. So she doesn't kill him, so she brings Luke back to the farm. And then Reva drops her lightsaber into the sand, and you know, Obi-Wan's like, you can go do whatever you want now. You're not bound. You're better than him. You know, and then that ends with that. So Reva obviously is still alive, so it can be still in the storyline if we want to, if you want more Reva. And then what we do get to see is, wonderfully, we just see Obi-Wan move out of the cave that we saw in the first episode. He moves out, and then he says his last words to Owen, saying, I'm going away for a little while, you know, basically. You know, he doesn't need me, he just needs you. And Owen turns around and goes, do you want to meet him? Which is a beautiful scene where Luke gets to meet Obi-Wan for the first time, which makes sense why the fact that Luke Nori knows Obi-Wan Kenobi, the beginning of episode 4. And then as Obi-Wan Kenobi starts going away into like a ravine, if you will, into some mountains, we get Liam Neeson back as just murder me right now. We see that Liam Neeson's back, and he says to him, he's like, it took you long enough. He's like, Master. He's like, you know, you just weren't ready to see me yet, but you are now. We've got some work to do. Which is a payoff to the scene where the fact with Yoda says to Obi-Wan, you know, you can see him as a Force ghost and reconnect with him in episode 3. And that's how the episode ends. You know, obviously, pull back a little bit. We do get to see Obi-Wan see Princess Leia for the last time, which she dresses up, and what you get to see in episode 4, which is really good. It was a wonderful, heartfelt scene, you know, and the fact that they will meet again. And then the episode obviously ends, and boom. Cut scene done. So, overall, it was a great episode. And to me, Obi-Wan Kenobi did have its lows, but I'd say overall, it did the number one thing it was meant to do. It told an Obi-Wan Kenobi and it enriched the story of Star Wars between episode 3 and 4, and it was well worth it. Well worth it. You know, seeing these characters back, what we got to see, the points that we got to see leading into episode 4, you know, the fight between Darth Vader and Obi-Wan, the rematch of the century, you know, it was well worth it. I loved it. Yes, it did have lows, but overall, I absolutely loved it. And I would love to know what you guys think of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Now, season 2 is on the table. Hasn't been confirmed. It's not greenlit. but it is a possibility. For me, I don't think there needs to be season two. The only thing I want to see in season two would be Obi-Wan Kenobi versus Darth Vader, no, Darth Vader, Darth Maul in a rematch. That's it. I don't think there needs to be a season two. If you want a season two, go watch episode 4, 5, and 6. That's your season two. So I don't believe it needs to be. I think that was a nice wrap story and it leads well into episode 4. So I don't think you need to touch it at all. But raise applause. That was good. Moving over to Miss Marvel episode 3. So this particular... Okay, so at this stage, Miss Marvel is still not on my very high list of... Wow, that was fantastic. I can't wait for episode 4. I can't wait. It's not hitting that mark for me, you know. But don't get me wrong, like, this episode did enrich the story further. You know, we did get to see more background. You know, we saw Kamala. Obviously, as I said, we saw what's-name's mum. Robert's mum. And she explains the fact that she's a djinn. And we get to meet other people as well, which the fact that we find out that, you know, they have a connection with her mother, with the bracelet, and the fact that they've been around thousands and thousands of years as well, almost like the Internals, and what they do is they need to get a way back to their home world, or their home dimension, and they need Kamala's help. We do get a wonderful flashback between the Purge and how they found the bracelet, which looks to be it's rubble, it looks to be in a cavern. Most interesting thing about this cavern, which I didn't realize at the time until the rewatch, was that they do an aerial shot, like above shot, showing them trying to rummage for the rebel, and the fact it's a 10 rings logo, which makes me think, is the 10 rings in conjunction with the bangle? Because remember at the end of the fact of Shang-Chi and the 10 rings, it's sending out a message to somebody, so that's, is that connected in some way between the two? So that was a good flashback, and then what we do is Kamala also, so she's trying to come to terms with that, they want her help to get to this new dimension to send them home. Now we also see her brother's wedding. What we also find out is the fact that Kamala, you know, she doesn't want to help them, because the fact that Bruno explains the fact that there could be a very heavy cost involved, and she doesn't want to do that, which makes these a djinn go and attack at the brother's wedding that they're at. So CGI on point, you know. Obviously, we get to see more of Kamala's powers, very reminiscent of to what she can do in the comics. Now, the difference is, before I go forward, now, in the comics, Kamala is very like Mr. Fantastic. She can stretch, obviously, very far. What the flip side have done with this is they've made it more cosmic powers, which to me makes more sense, you know, than someone just stretching CGI-wise. So it makes more sense to have, you know, that element of cosmic powers. Especially that makes her more of a kin to Miss Marvel in that aspect. Cosmic, you know, that kind of style. So that's the big difference. So the fight scene is really good. We get to see more of her powers. I will admit, as 6 adults trying to fight 1 child, that was a bit... I did think about that. I was like, really? None of you could catch her? I'm pretty sure you guys are like warriors and, you know, you've probably learned many, many things over the time, but you can't catch a child. Really? So, but anyway, besides that, take a moment. So obviously, they get defeated. And the police, you know, the special police, all take them in as the fight scene ends. They all get captured, and then we see the fact that Kamala's best friend, she finds out that she's got powers. Bruno is going to explain to her about everything, and Kamala heads home. Now, during this fight scene, just beforehand, because of the wedding, what she does, she pulls the fire alarm to let all the family members out before the fight. Now, one of her family members did see that and tells her parents. Now, her parents ask, "Now, did you do it?" She's like, "Yes." And then, "Who is those people trying to fight you?" But Kamala doesn't tell her. You know, doesn't tell it, but the episode ends with her grandmother calling her, saying the fact, you need to come and see me right now, because during the fight scene, you saw the fact that during the fight scene, you saw another vision of like a giant train coming that we have seen before. Now, she mentions the fact that she saw that vision to her grandmother, so she needs to go see her right now to find out all this big connection. So, overall, this episode enriched the story. It did bring out my interest a little bit further, especially the Ten Rings. That's really interesting to me, but at the same time, like, if I missed an episode, I don't feel like I'd be really gutted. Because it's not at the point of, like, oh my god, Moon Knight, where I'm like, I really want to know what's going to happen. And obviously Kenobi. But overall, the show is still going very positive. I don't believe it should be, as I keep saying, it doesn't deserve the hate it's getting, but it's just not, like, at that top mark, which I don't think is to do with the quality. I think it's just the story they're trying to tell, because the quality of all Marvel is in there. The acting is good. It's just the story they're trying to tell might not interest everybody. That's the thing. Fun fact, Matt Lintz, who plays Bruno, he was actually in the running to play Spider-Man, but unfortunately he lost it to some kid called Tom Holland. I didn't know that, so I was like, oh, that was... didn't know that. But it makes sense. You can very tell the fact he would have gone for Spider-Man. You guys tell me, like, are you enjoying Miss Marvel, or, like, have you put this completely on the back burner with... between Kenobi, the Umbrella Academy, The Boys? Like, I completely understand, why you will put this on the back burner, but I still believe people should give it a chance. You know, wait it out, which I'm obviously doing. But I will admit, the episode was a lot more interesting, a lot more action compared to episode 1 and 2. So obviously, keeping with that trend with the Marvel TV shows, episode 3 is always the pivotal, where they put a little bit more money into it. But at the same time, I'm still at the point where I'm like, okay, let's just get on to episode 4. But. So, moving on to the one I'm most excited for. I'm really fucking enjoying this, is The Boys, because we get Herogasm. Honestly, I keep saying this every single week. If you are not watching The Boys, you're wasting your time. You need to watch The Boys. Honestly. Now, with this particular episode, Herogasm, I will explain, in the comics of The Boys, is this yearly event where all supes get together and do the nasty with each other as multiple times as they want. It's a massive orgy. It's called Herogasm. Now, the funny thing is that The Boys did hype this over with using the eggplant emoji with a cape. Apparently Twitter wouldn't approve it. And also, at the very start of this episode, there was a warning saying the fact that, you know, nobody was harmed in this, and all the explicit content that you see in this really isn't suitable for any boy or should be shown anywhere. Now, what we do get is the fact that Soldier Boy is hunting down the twins from the team Payback, which we do find out the fact that Butcher did find out their location, and they head there with Soldier Boy and Huey. They start heading that in direction. Before that, there's actually a scene where, you know, Soldier Boy is like, I can go on my own, and Huey's like, you know, you don't have a GPS, you don't have the internet, you don't have a mobile, and Soldier Boy is like, those all made up words, and even Butcher's like, no, they're not. No, that's the real thing. So Soldier Boy's relationship with Huey and Butcher is very strong. I do believe it is, and Jason Ackles does a fantastic job as Soldier Boy, especially in this episode. So he's a welcome addition to the show, I must admit. So they also head over there. Now, also the Deep figure. Now, the Deep on the other side with the vault is the fact that they get the footage from where he went nuclear, and they see Soldier Boy in this room, and it, you know, it's the Deep, it's Noir, it's Homelander. They're looking at this, and Homelander freaks out who it is. He's like, he starts really freaking out because it's Soldier Boy, you know, and you can see him start to break. What's going on? And the fact that he tells, you know, just the fact that he's back. How can he be back? He can be dead. You know, essentially, Soldier Boy is obviously, as you all know, is like Captain America. You know, he's the first superhero. And for example, it's almost like, not the same vein, but like, you know, between Captain America and Iron Man. You know, Iron Man is the new big superhero, but, you know, a lot of people compare him to Captain America and lives in his shadow because, you know, Captain America was perfect. He was the first hero, you know, and that jealousy, you know, the fact that, yeah, there's a shrine after him. Everyone speaks so highly of him, but what about me? So that's the kind of dynamic we do see, which is very well conveyed in Homelander. Now, the interesting is that Homelander, you know, says the fact that Noir saying, I'm really glad I've got you, you know, I really thank you for, we'll take care of this. And then instantly Noir turns around, goes into an elevator, stabs himself, takes out his tracker and leaves. And then the Deep finds Homelander and tells him, and then Homelander starts to break again because he's like, Noir's ditched you. You know, you've got nobody. But then the Deep finds out twins live, and he heads over there too to their house. And it looks like he's also starting to break down the relationship between him and his really crazy girlfriend. That's awfully very controlling. And then what we do get is some fantastic acting. Homelander is talking to himself in a mirror, which is very, very reminiscent between the Green Goblin talking to himself in the mirror. You've obviously got like almost the human side, and then you got the villain, the one that's really, you know, that big personality, which is just it's a fantastic scene, you know, between how broken Homelander is mentally and the fact that he's starting to have a split personality because of it. You know, between the fact that he's got to, you know, manage the company, this, you know, an old Soldier Boy is back, the first hero is back, you know, and the fact that you know, everything's starting to, Noir's gone, you know, it's starting to break down his mind, and that's just honestly a praise to the acting. It's a fantastic scene to display how broken Homelander is becoming. And then as we progress, the Deep, so funny, the Deep finds it and goes, what's going on in this party? Her opens the door, this is Herogasm. But you don't see anything yet, so that was interesting. But then then it flips to both Starlight and Mother's Milk going to the twins. So they find it next. And then obviously, as they open the door, a soup opens the door, and he's got a very long, stretchable penis. As you can imagine, I can't believe I'm saying this, but yes, he does have this really long penis, which is really funny. And then they get invited in, and it's just balls full of effed up shit. But you know, the funny thing is, all this effed up shit does happen, but it, to me, it's almost like they hyped it up. I was expecting a lot worse. It is not nearly as bad as what they've shown in previous seasons. And not to mention what happened at the beginning of episode 1. In the first 5 minutes. That was almost more effed up than what we saw in Herogasm. Yes, there's just a lot of questionable stuff going on. But not nearly as, whoa, what the fuck? Like, mentally scarring. It's not that bad. But here's the thing. That's not the best part of this episode. The best part of this episode is towards the end, where I didn't think it was going to happen, but Soldier Boy, Huey, and Butcher rock up. Obviously, Butcher and Huey have taken more Compound V for 24 hours. And what we get is that so awesome is that we get a fight between the three. And Homelander has this fantastic speech with Soldier Boy, you know, saying, you know, I looked up to you and blah, blah, blah. You know, and Soldier Boy is like, you know, you're just a copy and a piss trash and a cape. And then Homelander's like, no, I'm the upgrade. And they start fighting. So that's really good. But then, you know, Butcher enters the scene, and it's such a good scene because, you know, Homelander turns around and goes, oh, we're going to, you know, I told you we're going to end this by scorched earth. We're both going to kill each other. So let's go. So then, you know, Homelander goes to punch Butcher and he's like, what the fuck? And they start fighting. And you see how much Butcher is enjoying it, finally giving payback to Homelander. And I was like, what is going on? And then Huey jumps in as well. Homelander gets confused by him too. He's like, what is going on? But it's such a good fight scene. And then they finally get Homelander down. And Soldier Boy is about to power up to deparalyze Homelander. But it doesn't go off as quickly because Soldier Boy just 10 minutes before the scene, he goes nuclear and kills the twins and a lot of people in the orgy. All these people die. Soups and non-soups die. Which, lucky enough, Starlight wasn't there because, of the fact, just 10 minutes prior, Huey teleported him and Starlight out of the way because of the fact that A-Train was there. And obviously Huey had the powers, so he was going in because, you know, you never said sorry for Robin. And then, surprisingly, A-Train does turn around and says, no, I'm actually sorry. I'm seeing what happens with loved ones and everything that happens, so I'm generally sorry. You know, and Huey doesn't like that because he's like, he wanted to take him down. So he does punch him, and A-Train's like, what the fuck? It's just the funny reactions everyone's getting from this because they got powers. And because of that's why Huey takes Starlight away. Funny enough, Starlight loses her clothes as well because of that power. But then Huey goes back in this fight scene. So yeah, so they're just getting Homelander down and Soldier Boy's powering up. He's about to do it. Which a split second I thought, oh my god, they're gonna do it. Then another part was like, nah, that's too easy. Nah, he's not gonna be able to. Homelander pushes him out of the way and he flies off and they don't get to do it. So I was like, no, there's still more two episodes to go, so they weren't going to do it just then. So I thought that, yeah, that makes sense. And I thought, yeah. I was like, makes sense the fact that they didn't do it right there. So that's a great fight scene. All of that was great. And then as that scene progresses, we see Starlight and Mother's Milk trying to pick up the pieces because, you know, Soldier Boy went nuclear, so they're trying to save everybody and help everybody because of an ambulance and everything going on. And then Starlight, right at the end, Starlight starts saying the truth about Vought, about how she's quitting the Seven because of everything that's going on. And her relationship with Huey has also hit another snag because Huey does admit the fact that he has trouble that he can't protect her because she has powers, which is a bit of a drawback to the first season, which is interesting. Which was, you know, that was really good. And then what we also get to see is that A-Train, which is not exciting, A-Train, but because he's trying to find Blue Hawk for what happened to his brother in the previous episode. And he finds him. He grabs him by the neck and he's like, no, I'm going to make you pay. So he grabs him by the leg and shoots off and scrapes Blue Hawk all on the ground, killing him. But the problem is A-Train's heart. You know, the whole thing he wasn't running was the fact that if he run again, because, you know, everything he was taking, the drugs, it was killing him slowly because his heart. So what we do to see is A-Train on the ground, we can hear his heartbeat, and then we can hear it stop, and then we can see him, which looks like he's passed away. But the fact that he's not totally like gutted because he did justice for his brother. He did the right thing. Because he seems to, you know, sometimes tiptoe between the two of good and bad. Yeah, but you also got the other, you know, you also got the other dude, the brand new dude joining the Seven, lasered the hell and killed. Brand new guy, which didn't even get to see his powers. But we do get to see that. So as the episode ends, we see Starlight coming out on Instagram Live, saying everything about Vought and everything with Mother's Milk. And then Soldier Boy and Butcher and Huey leave with Soldier Boy to make another plan. Whew. You still with me? Are you still keeping up with everything I've just mentioned? So well done if you have. But yeah, overall, absolutely solid. This show just keeps getting better. And honestly, it is what I'm most excited for. than anything in right now between Kenobi and Miss Marvel, you know, show-wise, everything that's going on. And you need to start watching the acting, the writing, everything is top tier. Yes, there is 2 episodes to go because this was episode 6. As mentioned, the only drawback is the fact that they hyped up the show for the effed up shit, but there wasn't that much effed up shit. You know, there was a POV cam of someone in the toilet, you know, seeing, you know, cracking balls. But still, not as anything as effed up as the first 5 minutes that we saw in the first episode of the season and what's happened in previous seasons. So, you know, besides that, everything else is fantastic, which is amping up everything on how the next 2 episodes are going to go and how the fact that what's going to happen. That's the biggest thing. So, The Boys, 2 episodes left. Miss Marvel, 3 episodes left. You know, pretty sure Miss Marvel's only 6 episodes. And obviously, Thor 4 is only 2 weeks away. So again, guys, there is still so much content coming out. So stay tuned. Stay plugged in. Honestly, I can't wait for the next 2 episodes. The Boys, the early guard thing is the fact that they have confirmed season 4. So it'll be another 12 months until you get to see what happens. I'm just like, oh, I know whatever's going to happen at the end of episode 3. Last episode of season 3, I'm just going to be like, now we wait. Now we wait. That's the only thing I'm not looking forward to is that part. But I'm excited to see what is going to happen and where it's going to go. So look, guys, thank you so much for joining with this episode. And thank you for hearing me rant on all the way through. You know what to do with all the social side of things. And definitely please comment. Let me know your thoughts on all of this. You know, I love engaging with you guys and the conversations. And just getting the different opinions. As I always say, it's nice hearing someone else's side of the story. And, you know, see things that picked up that I didn't pick up. And vice versa. So, again, thank you very much. And until next time, guys. Happy ranting.
Thanks for listening to Lights, Camera, Rant. If you like the show, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. While you're at it, leave us a rating and review, and be sure to tell your friends. Until next time, happy ranting.